الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين خالق السماوات والأرضين ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروح وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الحمد لله and all praises to Allah that Allah has filled the love of Hussein into our hearts. It is one of the greatest blessings for a person who has love of Hussein in his heart. It is nothing an emotional sentence. It is based on the hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says that there will be love of Hussein in the hearts of mu'mineen, believers, which will never cool down till the day of judgment. That there will be hararat, that feeling when the name of Hussein comes in front of us, when hear the name of Hussein alayhi salam, there's some different feeling a believer feels at his heart or her heart. And that feeling, that different feeling, makes the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Between a believer and a hypocrite. Hussein as a distinguished feature, that a person who believes and loves Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he is on the righteous path. And the one who doesn't take care, doesn't have any feeling when the name of Imam Hussein comes, that means he has something of hypocrisy, or that person is hypocrite. Similarly, with the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam comes, that the difference between a mu'min and a hypocrite is that
with the name of Ali comes, if he smiles, if he gets happy, he gets some feeling and at heart, that means that person is mu'min. And if the person with the name of Ali comes and a person feels uncomfortable, that means that person is a hypocrite.
Nara Haydari! Ali!
And it is not from now. It is from the time of the Holy Prophet. To differentiate between the believers and the non-believers. The Ashab of the Prophet. The Ashab of the Prophet used to make the criteria of the name of Ali. They used to take the name of Ali in front of a person. If that person becomes happy, that means that person is a believer and a mu'min. And if that person used to feel discomfort, that means that person is a hypocrite. Ali is the criteria of haqq and batil. Ali is the criteria. He is a qasimul jannati wal nar. He is the one who will distribute paradise and hell. How he will distribute? Not in that world. I don't know about that world. But Ali will distribute paradise and hell in this world. Those who believe in him, those who follow his footsteps, those who strive to convert themselves into the lifestyle given by the Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Those are the true believers. Yes, there is no doubt that we cannot be like Ali. No human being can be like Ali, yes. But what we can do, that we should strive on his path. Try to replica his works. Try to replica his ibadat. We cannot do that sort of ibadat which Ali used to do. I was just thinking, when going through the A'mal of Shabi Ashur, which is tonight, we are supposed to perform some of these A'mal at least. When I was just reciting that there is a 100 rakat of Salat, I say, oh God, so much A'mal. And again, then again, another Salat of 2 rakats plus 2 rakats, you recite this, you recite that, you recite that. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, me the believer and lover of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen and other Imams used to offer 1,000 rakat of prayers in a night. And we are reluctant to offer even 11 rakat of Salatul Layl, night prayers. We are reluctant to offer even 11 rakat. Even at times these type of amal comes. The one of the amals, just let me mention that. There are too many amals, but I am mentioning one of the amal over here. Is that to offer 2 plus 2 rakat. That is 4 rakat salat. In every rakat, after Surah Al-Hamd, recite Surah Ikhlas, that is Surah Qul Huwallah, 50 times. There are other amals. You can search on internet. There are sites. And you may find those things. If you want, I can let you know the different amal. And another thing is to reflect. To reflect. Remember, one of our teachers and a great scholar, Marhum Ayatullah Mishkini, used to mention that. Rather, he has mentioned in one of his books which he has written about the dua, that the best amal in Laylatul Qadr, the best amal in different nights, is to reflect and think and ponder. That what responsibilities we have, the relations between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relations between us and Ahlul Bayt, relation between us and Quran. Reflect. The Holy Prophet says to Hazrat Abu Zar Ghaffari, he says that to think for a moment has a greater ibadat than offering of 70 years of ibadat. It's greater than 70 years of ibadat. If a person able to purposeful thinking in the creation of Allah, in the relation and the responsibility which we have towards Quran, towards Ahlul Bayt, that purposeful reflection will help us, and that purposeful reflection has greater reward than the 70 years of ibadat. Just a moment of thinking, taking a few moments to think that from where we have been coming in this world and where we will be going and what to do in this world, what is the mission, how to accomplish that mission, what is our responsibilities towards ourselves, our responsibilities towards our nafs, our responsibilities towards our heart, our responsibilities towards our intellect, our responsibilities towards our hands, towards our eyes, towards our ears, the responsibilities which has been mentioned by Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It all needs to think, to reflect, to read, to study, to know that what is our actual responsibility. Our responsibility is towards our family, towards our spouse, towards our children, towards our parents, towards our neighbors, towards our sisters and brothers, towards our relatives, towards our neighbors, towards brothers in Islam, Ahlul Iman, towards all the Muslims, towards the humanity, and the our responsibilities towards society, how to behave in society, how to interact in society, how we should deal, what should be the basics and principles of our working, doing business, trade, doing job, whatsoever. The entire lifestyle should be based on the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, and this is the responsibility which has been explained by Imam Zainul Abidin and other Imams as well. And another responsibility and the rights of our body, and besides the rights of our parts of our body and our carnal souls and other souls which we have inside ourselves, responsibility and our relation between us and our Creator, between us and our Lord, between us and our Sustainer, between us and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how we should relate ourselves in day to day. In day to day. One of the verses in the beginning which Brother Mustafa recited from Surah Mujadila, I would like to repeat a part of it. In Surah Mujadila, it's Allah says, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان وأنساهم ذكر الله. What happens? Shaitan overpowers those people. Allah says, Shaitan overpower those people. فأنساهم ذكر الله. And what Shaitan do? What Shaitan do? He make us forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just we can think and reflect, taking this a part of this Quranic verse, that just what are those things we can take us away from remembering Allah. From remembering Allah. I'm not going to name those things. At times it could be our play. At times it could be the time we are spending on internet. At times we are just spending some time on other things. There are many things which can take us away from remembering Allah. What are the responsibility we have? That whatever we do, we sleep, we eat, we talk, we work, we read, whatever we do, we need to think first that whatever I am doing, is my Allah, my Lord, will be pleased from me or not. This is the responsibility which we have. And shaitan comes. And now shaitan has his agents. Shaitan has developed many instruments. The instruments which could be for your benefit, the same instrument could be against you if we are not able to control ourselves. Control ourselves. And that's what happened even to our bodies. If we take something a lot more than a balanced diet, we get sick, we get hypertension, we get sugar, we get, I don't know, many they are things. Why? Because we were not being careful. The intake of sugar we are taking every day in our drinks, in our foods, and I don't know, it's in halawiyat and in our sweets and different ways. We aren't taking care of it. So, what will happen? The diet will be disbalanced. Similarly, our souls, if we are unable to balance that and forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will lost our way. And that's what one of the works which shaitan is doing. Shaitan is doing. What shaitan did in Karbala? Just take the example, the life example of Karbala. There were been people in the army of Yazid who was offering their prayers. They offered their prayers. Imam Hussein even asked Amr ibn Sa'd, are you going to offer your prayers with me or yourself? So there were people over there. They were being memorizers of Quran in the army of Hussein and in the army of Yazid. So what was different? There will be people who used to offer their night prayers. Salatul Layl. They used to fast other than the Ramzan. They used to give charity and different works. What is the focal point which they missed out? I mentioned last night or before that the direction towards the wilayat of Quran and wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, that is the decisive direction which they lost. Shaitan took over their minds, took over their hearts, and they forget what Allah has told in Quran. Atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. They forget what the Holy Prophet has said. Man kunta maula fa hadha aliyun maula. They forget what Rasulullah said. Inni taraktu fikum al-thaqlain kitab Allah wa itrati ahl bayti. They forget what the Holy Prophet said, that Husayn minni wa ana min al-Husayn. They forget that al-Husayn safinatun najah, that Husayn is the boat which can take them towards the najat, towards the prosperity and success. They forgot all those things. And they were just blindfolded. They were blindfolded and they were going towards. Blindfolded, they were being not forced by shaitan. Remember, we discussed it a few nights back. There is no compulsion. We are not being forced by Allah. We are not being forced by anyone thing else. It is with our own will we choose the right and the wrong path. We have two clear examples. Amr ibn Sa'd and Hur ibn Riyahi, two examples, and they were on the same path and same two ways, what to do and what not to do, to accept the commands of Ibn Ziyad or and Yazid or not. Hur was confused to accept the path of paradise, and be prosper in hereafter, or to accept the rewards of this worldly rewards. One accepted the prosperity in hereafter, and the another person, Amr ibn Sa'd, with his own will, he chose that he would like to be the governor of city of Ray. So they had both were there. Imma inna hadayna sabil imma shakiran wa imma kafura. We have guided them both the ways. We have shown them both the ways. Now those who will be grateful like Hur wa imma shakiran. So Hur was shakiran and went towards Imam Hussein and towards Paradise and to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Amr ibn Sa'd wa imma kafura. And he was the one who denied the blessings and bounties of Allah, and he walked on the path of devil and shaitan. That is the Yazid. And Quran over here says the same thing. So we need to keep ourselves away. This is the last night we are having speech. Tomorrow will be only Masaib mostly. So this is the last time we need to conclude that we need to take something from these 10 days. Something to reflect upon. Something which can change our lifestyle. Something which can bring us closer and closer to Quran and to Ahlul Bayt. This is what the Holy Prophet left for his nation. His nation, not the Muslim nation, the entire humanity. And we, the believers, have more responsibilities, not just to understand their teachings, but to follow it. And not only just to follow it, but to convey the message of Quran and Ahlul Bayt to this entire world, to this entire humanity. Now Quran says over here, kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Muhammad. Allah says, "Istahwada alayhim ash-shaytan wa ansahum dhikra Allah," that they forget, they overpower shaitan, overpower their minds, and they forget to remember Allah. Ulaika hizbu ash-shaytan. Those people who forget Allah, that they decide on themselves, they do not seek the pleasure of Allah. They seek their own pleasure. The materialistic pleasure, the pleasure which may please their carnal souls, they are after all these worldly and lustful things. They don't care about Allah, they don't care about Quran, they don't care about Ahlul Bayt, they don't care about these things. They have nothing to do with this thing, they are ignorant. If the people are ignorant, so these people become Hizbul Shaitan, army of Shaitan, army of Shaitan. And then ala inna hizb ash-shaytan hum al-khasirun. And remember, be aware that the army of shaitan hum al-khasirun, that they will be at defeat. They will be at defeat. They will lose, not only hereafter, but in this world they will lose, because they shown their backs to Allah, the creator, the sustainer, the one who have given them intellect, the Allah who has given them the power to think, power to work, power to earn, power to decide, power to play, power to do lots of things in this world and get the pleasure of Allah through the blessings and bounties which has given. And they are using the same blessings and bounties against Allah, against the followers of Allah. So those people who do not remember Allah, they are from the army of Allah. So now we need to reflect and think. This is the night. After going home, take out some time. I know some of you must be have taken off tomorrow, and some of you could not be able to take off tomorrow, but take out some time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I'm not asking to sit for an hour or so. I just offer two rakats of prayers, even if you cannot recite. Just let me clarify. If you cannot recite the four rakat with the 50 times Surah Ikhlas, at least recite as you recite for Fajr prayers. That Surah Ham, and one time any other Surah, and then Tasbihat Zahra, and give the sawab or the Surah to Imam Hussein and Shahada Karbala. And then the remaining time, 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just reflect what we discuss in lies these 10 nights, or whatever you think is appropriate in which you have studied in Quran or from your past studies, that what and how we should develop our lives, how we should change, how we should bring it closer, come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, afterwards, it's Allah says, then who are the people who will be prosper? Who will be prosper? Can you recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allah says, and I've just skipped a few part of a verse. Allah says, لا تجدوا قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. You won't find people who have iman and believe on in Allah and on the day of judgment. يؤدون من من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم وأبناءهم أو إخوانكم أو أشيرتكم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. But those people who have true belief and iman, they will know, in my words, they don't have the exact translation, but the meaning is that they do not show their back to Allah and to His Prophet, and they give away everything, whatever they have on the path of Allah. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمَ الْإِيمَانِ. That these type of people who are ready to give everything, because whatsoever we have, it all belongs to Allah. Allah has given us. Now Allah, as a test, would like to take it back. Allah says, I have given you so much wealth. Give some charity. Help poor, help your cousin, help your friends, help your neighbors. Help the oppressed humanity. So it's a test that we are going through it. Kindly say Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. And Allah helped them with His own spirit. وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. And Allah will enter them into the paradise where they will be running rivers beneath their feet, and they will be remain over there for always. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah will be pleased with him, with those people. وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. And those people will be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. And these people who are ready and they give everything from their life, their children, their family, their wealth, themselves, their own lives, their time, Allah says, then these people are Hizbullah. Hizbullah, they are the army of Allah. You cannot just put it over here, give some slogan, Labbaika Ya Hussein, and you will become a Hizbullah. You will say Nara Hedri and you will become Hizbullah. You will say Husainiyat Zindabad and you will become Hizbullah. No, Hizbullah needs and asks for sacrifice the way these 72 Shahada, They give their lives in Karbala. When they say, Hussein, oh Hussein, we are with you. We give our allegiance and bayat to you. So they showed that. They showed that on the battlefield of Karbala. When Hur came back and said, forgive me. So with his own self, he showed that yes, he has repented. And he has sought with sincerity that forgiveness. So he gave away his life. Fighting for the cause of Islam, fighting to defend the grandson of the Holy Prophet. So we need to, it's not the slogans, it cannot be limited to the words. These things which is taken into our minds through words. Our mind should be Hizbullah, our heart should be Hizbullah, our every part of our should be the party of Allah. That we should be ready to give whatever Allah asks according to the circumstances. So we should be ready. And that's what Allah says. Allah says, Ulaika, Ulaika Hizbullah, ala inna Hizballahi humul muflihun. And remember, indeed, the party of Allah will be prosper. Humul muflihun. They will be prosper. They will have the victory, not only in this world, but the victory and success of hereafter is much more important. It doesn't matter if people die over here or not. We could able to achieve ultimate goal or not. But if we are able to identify the goal of our life, the objective of our life, and if we are heading towards it and taking all sorts of challenges, all sorts of odds in our life, with the help of Allah, we are heading it. We must have not reached even the half part of it. And if we die or if we have been killed, remember the success belongs to the party men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humul muflihun. Inna hizballah humul muflihun. If we are striving on the path of Allah, we have seen 124,000 prophets. How many of them have been killed? With brutality they have been killed. We have seen the lives of Imam. All of them been poisoned or killed with sword. But again, even in the entire scenario, to whom we say that he is the victorious, who is successful? Imam Hussein died with his entire companion, entire team. His family members were being taken, imprisoned. But the entire world, with the free minds and the open hearts, they say Yazid was a loser and Hussein was a successful and victorious person. And that's what Imam Khomeini says, that the month of Muharram and Safar is the month of the victory of blood over swords. Victory doesn't come always with sword and guns and bombs and these type of things. Victory comes when we are able to steadfast on the principles given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we remain with the humanity, when we steadfast for the justice, when we remain fast to help oppressed, كُونُ لِلظَّالِمِينَ خَصْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. On his deathbed, before his shahada, what he said to his children and the people to come in future. It's written over there in the nasihat, in the last will of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, كُونُ لِلظَّالِمِينَ خَصْمًا. Be strong and firm against tyrants. Tyrants. Tyrant? Which tyrant? Which tyrant? Tyrant of all the eras in which we are living. Which we are living. The tyrants of this time. We need to be stand against them. We need to be strong against them. We need to show the positive teachings of Islam to the humanity, that the prosperity lies in believing in oneness of Allah and following the prophethood of the prophethood and believing in the divine leadership of Ahlul Bayt. Kalau saya salawat Muhammad Ali. Can recite the loudest of your salawat, Muhammad Wala. Yes, Imam Hussein was the misdaq, was the example of this verse. Allah, inna hizballahi humul muflihun. Imam Hussein. The falah means success, prosperity. I mentioned that prosperity, as defined in the dictionaries, have different meaning. It will be changed if our world view is different. If you believe in this world and hereafter, the definition will be different. And if somebody believes that this is the only world, then the prosperity is wealth and success, I mean having the big titles and so on. But when we are saying prosperity means success of this world and hereafter. Success, the criteria of success, what is the criteria of success? What is the criteria of success? Go and ask these worldly people. Go and ask these worldly people. Find and Google it. Try to find it. There will be no one definition of success. They have different meanings. Everyone defines it differently. But Islam gives one definition. One definition. It's a brief definition for success. What is the brief definition? Wal asr innal insan lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. This is the definition of success. This is the definition of success. If we are able to practice these four things, we are successful. It doesn't matter we have a small house or big. We are a president or prime minister of some state, or we have just a laborer doing some very small work. Doesn't matter. If we are following these things, this is the best quality, that to achieve these things, we don't need wealth. We don't need these worldly politics. We don't need to mess around. These four qualities, a woman who has been a housewife can achieve. A person who is working in a shop, a little shop, he can achieve. A person who is working in a multinational company, he can achieve. A person who is sitting in some administrative work in government, that person can achieve. That it is achievable. This success, which has been defined by Quran very beautifully in Surah Asr and elsewhere as well, very beautifully, is what can be achievable for each and every person, regardless of their creed, their color, their status whatsoever. And this is the universality of Quran. This is the universality of this religion. This is the beauty and magnificence of this religion, that this can be adopted by each and every person in every corner of this world, all around the globe. This can be achievable by any person who intend to go ahead. And that's what they shown. That's what they shown in Karbala. That doesn't matter. Number doesn't count. It's the sincerity. Sincerity. Their love. The sense of responsibility. The caring about Islam. The caring about Imam. Imam, the divine leader. Again, I will say. The basic, the other day, a little girl was asking me that what is the difference between the Shias and Sunnah. This is the basic difference. If she couldn't able to understand, her mother and father may tell them and make it a little bit lighter to understand that this is the different. That is the divine leadership. Divine leadership, that we should be following the divine leadership. We have the divine leadership, otherwise others they don't have. We believe in the divine leadership. Believe in the divine leadership. In one of the hadith which has been commonly mentioned by Ahl Sunnah, we also narrate these things, but it is from narrated from the books of Ahl Sunnah, that they say that all the ashab are like these stars. Whosoever, whichever star we follow, we will be guided. Well, we Shias, we do not have this hadith in our books, but accepting that hadith, we say, okay, if we are at our free will, we accept these stars of Ahlul Bayt to follow. Not to get in debate, but we have chosen our ulama, the people we follow, the ulama, maraj'een, our ancestors, they have, the one who have done research, they have said that these are the most safest guides, they are the most complete guides. Even if people do not believe that these guides are infallible, even if they believe, again, because they have a linkage and lineage with Rasulullah, and they were taking the knowledge and divine knowledge and guidance from Rasulullah and from Ali, then Imam Hassan, then Imam Hussein, then Imam Zainul Abidin, then Imam Muhammad Baqir, then Imam Jafar Sadiq, then Musa Kazim, and so on till Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. So these twinkle stars are the best guides for the entire mankind. And what we discuss about their infallibility and the message, the divine message they have, we believe in that, which we discussed in a couple of nights before. So Imam Hussein with his companions in the battlefield of Karbala. Today was the 9th of Muharram. Tonight is the night of 10th of Muharram. The 9th of Muharram, the daytime. The daytime, there was some sort of, that they tried. Amr ibn Sa'd wanted to attack. He sent a company, a battalion towards the camps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam asked Hazrat Abbas, go and see what these people want. Amr ibn Sa'd says, Hussein, give allegiance to Yazid or be prepared for a bloody battle. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas went back. He did not reply those people in his own words. Rather, he came back to get the guidance and orders from his imam and his leader. He came back in his camp and says they want to start the battle. They are asking for the allegiance for Yazid. Imam's reply was very simple. Imam said, O Abbas, go to them and seek one more night and say, let it be tomorrow. Because Hussein loves to do ibadat, loves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein loves to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam request was granted. And then they came back, the Amr ibn Sa'd's people came back to their camps. And left Imam Hussein gathered, could be this sort of a night, after Salatul Maghrib and Isha, Imam gathered his people, his companion, and Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam said, O people, I give you permission to leave this place. People said, Mawla, we have given allegiance to you. We have done bay'at on your hands. Imam says, I give you permission. When I give you permission, permission, you can go. Imam say, okay, if you are ashamed to go alone, take each one of you, one of my family members. And whenever somebody asks that, when why you left Imam Hussein, you can say, I wanted to save this child of Bani Hashim, this lady of Bani Hashim. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. People said, no, Imam, we cannot do. Then what Imam did? Imam said, okay, extinguish the light. There was with total darkness. If you feel ashamed that I will be able to see you, that who is leaving me, I will allow you. Now it's a complete darkness. It's a complete darkness. You can leave my camp. You can leave my camp. Allahu Akbar. For some moment, there was a complete silence over there. Nobody moved. Nobody said everything. And when that candle was been lit again, Imam saw that each and every companion of his was over there. One of them stood, Hazrat Abbas stood first and said, Mawla, we cannot leave you. You are our master. We have given allegiance. This life, what if Allah gives us multiple lives, we will serve you. We will sacrifice our lives to save you and save Islam. Another, Zuhair ibn Qain, Muslim ibn Awsaja, one by one, many companions start speaking in front of Imam Hussein, said, Imam, this one life is nothing. If Allah gives us 70 lives, in a way that every time we sacrifice our lives, our bodies would be cut into pieces and burned into fire, and again, then Allah give us tawfiq to be your companion. We will be your companion in that next life. We are ready to give 70 lives. Some other says we are ready if we have been given 1,000 lives. Allahu Akbar. Imam was given that confidence that he will not be left alone in that battlefield. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That time Imam said, let me give you glad tidings. Let me give you glad tidings. Oh my companions. Allah has given me the best of companions, which has not been given to my grandfather Prophet. It's not been given to my father Ali ibn Abi Talib. The companions which have been, Allah has blessed me with those companions. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yes, at that same moment, Imam Hussein showed people the places in paradise where they will be placed. They will be residing over there. Allahu Akbar, this was the glad tidings to them, glad tidings to people. People were happy that, yes, although in this world they have to live early, but they will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same time, in a corner, there was a child, a young child, a 13 years old child was weeping and crying and saying, Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein said, my child Qasim, why you are crying? He said, Mawla, you gave glad tidings to everyone, but you did not give glad tidings to me. He said, Qasim, just answer me and reply me. How you will feel? You will see the death. If you will die, how you will feel that? Imam Hazrat Qasim said, if it's under the flag of yours, if it's under your flags, then the death is sweeter than honey. Allahu Akbar. Imam hugged Hazrat Qasim and said, Qasim, tomorrow you will also be amongst the shahada, and your little brother Ali Asghar will also be amongst the list of shahadas. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam went outside his camp. It's been written in the historians. They say that in the camps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were being sounds like a honeybee buzzing over there, because in some of the camps there were people who were reciting Quran. At other camp there were been people who were offering their prayers. They were in ruku. In some other camps they were in sujood. In some other camp they were making supplications and dua. Allahu Akbar. All companions and family members of Imam Hussein were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking his nearness. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam went into the darkness of that night, into that battlefield, which was supposed to be battlefield. A person followed him, afraid that somebody will may attack Imam alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Imam went to a place, it has some depth. Allahu Akbar. He saw it behind his back and see that one of his companions over there. He said, why you have come over here? He said, Imam, I was afraid that somebody may attack you. So he said, Imam, why you have come over here? He said, Imam said, to see the place where I am going to be killed. This is the place. This is the place where I will do my akhri sijda, my last prostration over there. This is the place from when my head will be chopped away from my body. Then Imam showed him. This is the place where Muslim ibn Awsaja will fall from his horse. This is the place where Zuhair ibn Qain will be killed. This is the place where Ali Akbar will die. This is the place where Qasim will fall from his horse. He showed the places where all these companions will die. Ajrukum ala Allah, ajrukum ala Allah. Yes, he came back to his camps. He went into the camp of Hazrat Zainab. He said, oh my brother, tomorrow is the very challenging and hard day. Is a difficult day tomorrow. He said, yes, tomorrow will be a difficult day. And you, my sister, you need to take care of the entire clan. You are the one who take the lead, because Zainul Abidin is a bedridden. He cannot do it. And you should be taking care of each and everyone amongst his family. Hazrat Zainab understood that now there is no way to avoid this battle. Then Hazrat Zainab asked one thing. Hazrat Zainab asked, okay, if this inevitable to go into battlefield, then have you tested your companions? Oh brother, I don't want to see as your companions, the companions of Imam Hassan betrayed him, as the companions of my father Amir al-Mu'minin betrayed him. We don't want to see betrayal over here from your companions. These words, this conversation was overheard by a companion. They called Habib ibn Mazahir, who was the closest to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who was closest to the family of Ahlul Bayt. Allahu Akbar. They narrated what the princess of Amir al-Mu'minin is saying to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Habib ibn Mazahir came close to the camp. He and he started talking from behind the curtains of the camp and said, Oh Princess Zainab, this life is nothing. This allegiance is nothing. If you are not confident, if my Mawla allows me, I will behead myself with my own episode. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, we promise by God that we will not leave Imam Hussain even for a blink of an eye. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When these companions gathered behind the camp and they gave confidence and that courage to Hazrat Zainab, that believed, that got comfort that tomorrow in the battlefield these companions will not betray. Allahu Akbar. Yes, one by one, everyone sacrificed their life. Now there was no one. Imam Hussain stood on a high place on the mount and said, Hal min nasir yansurana, hal min mughithin yaghithuna, hal min dhabin an haram rasulullah. Is there anyone to safeguard the family of Rasulullah? Is there any man over here? Allahu Akbar. Nobody replied. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussain went into his camp and said, bring me my 6-month-old child, Ali Asghar. Yeah, what's been said in some of the books, Abdullah. Imam said, bring that 6-month child. He is also thirsty. Her mother has no more milk to give, feed him. He doesn't have any water to feed. Let me try and take him to the battlefield and ask few drops of water for 6-month child. Allahu Akbar. When Hazrat Zainab brought this child, Ali Asghar, and said, oh my brother, are you sure that they are going to give some water to this child? I don't know. Imam Hussain, what he must have replied to Hazrat Zainab al-Rubab. Allahu Akbar. There was no reply because Imam Hussain knew that was going to happen. But it was supposed to happen to expose the brutality of those enemies. Imam Hussain took Ali Asghar on his hands and said, oh people, you have enmity with me. You are against me. This 6-month child has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with this battle. And he is thirsty from last 3 days. He hasn't had a drop of water. He is thirsty. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Nobody came forward. He said, okay, you are not coming forward. He put Ali Asghar on the burning sand of Karbala. And he came back and said, if you are afraid that I will drink water. Allahu Akbar. Now Ali Asghar is lying over there. One of you come over here and give some water to this child. Wa mazluma, wa mazluma. Allahu Akbar, my Mawla, master of this universe, is asking for a few drops of water. Allahu Akbar. Nobody came to give water. Again Imam Hussain alayhi salam took Ali Asghar in his hands. It's been written, it's been said that Imam Hussain said something into the ears of Ali Asghar. Nobody knows what Imam said to Ali Asghar. But Ali Asghar took out his little and dry tongue out of his mouth. and show to the people. Allah, Allahu Akbar. Many men in the army of Amr ibn Sa'd, in the army of Yazid, they start crying. Amr ibn Sa'd got frightened. Imam ibn Sa'd got frightened. Allahu Akbar. He asked Hurmala. Who was Hurmala? Hurmala was the champion, a person who used to be a champion of throwing arrows, taking aims. He took out an arrow. Arrow? It's a normal arrow? Arrow from which a person should be killed? No, an arrow, Allahu Akbar, arrow with three spears in it, which has been used. Which is used to kill animals. Which is to use kill animals. Hurmala took out his arrow. There was nobody to ask Hurmala. Hurmala, why you are using this spear? This arrow is three spears, three heads. Allahu Akbar. In some of the, I've heard from some of the speakers, they say that they've narrated that when Hurmala wanted to take aim of the small and wide neck of Ali Asghar, he tried one. He could not do it. He could not. He tried again. Again, he could not take the aim. Amr ibn Sa'd said, "You Hurmala, what happened to you? Are you afraid to throw the arrow?" He said, "No. Whenever I try, I see a lady over there coming in front of me." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. An arrow on the third try. Arrow was been thrown. That arrow which went into the neck of Ali Asghar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ali Asghar was been bloodbathed in his own blood. Allahu Akbar. Imam said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam alayhi salam took the blood of Ali Asghar into his palm and threw it towards the skies. Historians rise. Imam Sadiq says, not even a drop of the blood of Ali Asghar came back to this ground. Allah accepted the sacrifice of Ali Asghar. Allahu Akbar, ajrukum ala Allah, ajrukum ala Allah. Now it's the testing time for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Testing time for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. He wanted to go towards the camp. He said, "Oh, how come the mother of this child? How to reply, Rabab? How to reply? Zainab, I took this child to get some water for him, and now he has been killed. Allahu Akbar. Imam went seven times towards camp and came back. And then he decided to go around the camp. He went around the camp. He came down from his horse, Zuljana, and he dig a little grave for Ali Asghar, maybe with this hope that when their bodies will be trampled, Ali Asghar body and his head will be saved. Allahu Akbar. Wa Maulai, my Maula Imam Zamana, my Maula Imam Zamana, in Ziyarat Naya says, "My salam to Ali Asghar, my salam to Ali Asghar, whose head was being chopped from his body and put on the spear of the..." Imam Hussain, when he came back into camps empty-handed, Allahu Akbar, everyone came and said, where is Ali Asghar? Hazrat Sakina came. Hazrat Sakina came and said, where is my little brother? Oh father, where is my little brother Ali Asghar? As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahi allati halat bifinaik alayka minni salam allahi abna ma baqita baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أسهام الحسين السلام عليك أيها علي السلام عليك يا علي أصغر الرضي السلام عليك يا أهل بيت النبوة ومعدن الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبة الوحي اللهم إني أسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العزل أجل الأكرم وبدم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله بحق علي أصغر يا الله بحق قاسم يا الله بحق علي أكبر يا الله بحق عباس يا الله بحق الحسين يا الله بحق زينب ربنا وتقبل منا هذا القليل والله accept this little ibadat from us Allah give us tawfiq to follow the footsteps of the Imam Hussain alayhi salam Allah give us tawfiq to associate ourselves to the shahada of Karbala Allah give us tawfiq to remain on the path of Shahada-i Karbala Allah give us tawfiq to remember and commemorate the Aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salam Majalif of Imam Hussain alayhi salam Allah give us tawfiq and give our generations our children and generations to come the tawfiq give us tawfiq to do the azadari Allah give us tawfiq to help the oppressed people all around the world give us tawfiq to be associate ourselves with Amir al-Mu'mineen bi wilayat Amir al-Mu'mineen wa uladihi Allah give us tawfiq to be amongst the true and pure followers of Imam Zamana ajjalallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif Allah hasten the reappearance of 12th Imam Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Allahumma kulli waliyyika الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا ماتم حسين
يا حسين
Ya Hussein.
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 Ya Hussein.